قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very easy, simple deed to follow. Allah has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Rabbul Izzat has given us the Quran Kareem, last kitab of Allah. So far we have discussed about the four sources of Sharia. We have spoken about Quran Kareem, then about the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we have shed some light on ijma, that is consensus of opinion. And the fourth source of Sharia is what we call qiyas. The reason why I am explaining to you these things, deen is very easy, let us keep it easy. Deen is not complicated, let us not make it complicated. So any action that you are to do or you are doing, it has to be substantiated from these four sources. And the more we educate ourselves on the fundamentals and basics, then no one can come and mislead you. No one can come and tell you do something and that is not part of Sharia. So alhamdulillah, about Quran, Sunnah, Ijma, you know something. Learn something about Qiyas. First of all, Qiyas is obviously an Arabic word. It means an analogical Shari reasoning. It is a little difficult to understand. I will try to explain it to the best of my ability to you, so you understand something of Sharia. Analogical meaning that there has to be some analogy, and this analogy has to be done on Shari principles, and this has to have certain rules and regulations for it to materialize. In the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about alcohol and gambling and also things of chance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that as not permissible, as haram. So that ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits alcohol, that is what we call our asal. That is our basis. That's our original. Now when the mujtahideen, the great scholars of Islam, who ponder about Islam 24 hours a day, and they are experts on the Sharia, when they look at this ayat, they found one causative factor. And the causative factor is what we call in Arabic illah, the illat of it. And the illat, the causative factor, they found that intoxicant, that which intoxicates, Allah is saying, in this ayat, Allah is stating one principle, that which intoxicates is haram. Although Allah is speaking here in this ayat about alcohol, but the cause is intoxication. So now, they use that as a principle, as a root, as a basis, as a fundamental, and they said everything that intoxicates is haram. So anything now, any ingredient, any liquid, any substance that intoxicates will become haram. Why? Because we got the principle from the Quran. The principle, the asal has to be in the Sharia. The asal, the original has to be in the Quran or in the Sunnah. Otherwise, you cannot make a deduction. So the asal, the original is what? Alcohol intoxicates. And the farah, that means the end result, another law that is coming out, the deductive law that is coming out, is anything, any substance that intoxicates will be haram. So you got the asal, and you got the farah, and you got the cause, the illa, the causative factor. Respected elders, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, the murderer does not inherit. The murderer does not inherit. See, one person, what he does, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We haven't reached that low ebb yet. That a person murders his father. His father is multi-millionaire. Now he murders his father, he won't inherit. The Sharia is saying that, why? Because something that was due to him. Now the Mujtahideen, they looked into this hadith. They're looking for the causative factor. What they found as a causative factor, that which was due to him, he brought it forward. He brought it forward. In society, one person, for example, he came to know, let alone his father, etc., he came to know that one wealthy person was going to give him money in his will. Now in your will, you know, you can take one third of your will and distribute it to whomsoever you want to. If you don't exercise that option, then all three thirds, that means the whole amount, gets distributed in the light of Sharia. If you want to exercise your option, you've got option on one third. So for example, hypothetically speaking, one person came to know that certain person, wealthy person, has got me listed in that one third, and I stand to gain millions. So this person goes and kills him. Now, that person will not inherit. Why? Because he preempted something. Something that was due to him naturally. As time went by, he'll get it. But now what he decided to do, he went to preempt it and he killed that person, so he gets his inheritance or he gets his bequest quickly. Causative factor. Illat, understand this. See, a person, he goes to sleep. Now when a person goes to sleep, nice discussion, why he went to sleep? And what made him sleep? And what caused him to sleep? Was the bed caused him to sleep? Tiredness caused him to sleep? Weakness caused him to sleep? Or the time was right to sleep? Or was his wife troubling him, that's why he slept away? Or did he close his eyes, then he slept away? Or did he take some medication and slept away? Or was the bed too soft, that's why he slept away? So you can see, now from one thing, so many causes are possible. Now the Mujtahideen will determine what is the exact cause in the ayat and in the hadith, and from then laws will come out. See, for example, that in the month of Ramadan, a person, he cries and makes dua. When he cries and makes dua, then wuzu doesn't break, nor the fasting breaks. Then a person, he goes to toilet, the fast doesn't break. He passes urine, fast doesn't break. Now we know those things. Now, after that, what we do, we start making some laws. That a person, if he gives some blood, fast does not break. A person who is diabetic, he takes blood test, fasting does not break. A person went to extract some tooth and then professionally without something going down his throat, fasting doesn't break. So a person, by just looking at the tears coming out of the eyes, a lot of other laws are coming out. But who will do this? Who will take out the laws? Now the expert will take the laws out. The big scholar of Islam will take the laws out. And not the people who understand one, two words of Arabic and they think they know about Islam. You understand? Nowadays what happens, you get people that they speak little bit Arabic, understand little bit Arabic, and they think they are authorities indeed. And rest assured you, they don't even understand classical Arabic. Kitchen Arabic they understand. Arabic is one of the conditions for the mujtahideen, for the mujtahid to become mujtahid. Now this concept of qiyas, where it came about? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent out Ma'az ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Yemen. And while she was leading him out of Medina, Hazrat Ma'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu was seated on the conveyance. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "Oh Ma'az, when you go there and an issue comes in front of you, how will you discuss it? How will you judge it?" Hazrat Ma'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "By the Kitab of Allah." By the Kitab of Allah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "Oh Ma'az, if that issue and matter you cannot find in the Kitab of Allah, what you will do?" Hazrat Ma'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "By the Sunnah, by your Sunnah." Yeah, he said, "By your Sunnah." He never said, "By your Hadith." That's why we are Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, we're not Ahl Hadith. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Oh Ma'az, if it is not in the Kitab of Allah, and if it is not in the Sunnah, if it is not in my Sunnah, how will you judge an issue?" So Hazrat Ma'az radiallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that, "I will exercise ijtihad," meaning that I will exert myself, and this means that I'll make an opinion. I'll derive an opinion. I'll look at the Quran and I look at the Sunnah, and from these two I will take out one principle, and in this principle I will make a law. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his Mubarak hand and he struck Hazrat Ma'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu on the chest and made dua to Allah, praising Allah, saying that, "Oh Allah, we are pleased that you have given us such companions." So this is why qiyas is permissible and qiyas you can do. Why? From this hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, we also learn that you have to be an expert to make qiyas. In order to make qiyas, you have to be an expert in the Quran and the Sunnah. The whole of the Quran must be in front of you, and the whole of the Sunnah must be in front of you. And when those two sources are exhausted, then you can move towards exercising analogical reasoning. You cannot move towards analogical reasoning without looking at the Quran and the Sunnah first. So every person, every Tom, Dick and Harry cannot go and start making qiyas and start deducing laws in Islam. Secondly, this is when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, at this stage, that the person who goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the dust touches him, and because the dust touches him, then inshallah the flames of Jahannam will not touch him. This is when he said that.
And this is exactly the same thing which Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said when he was leading the expedition outside Madinatul Munawwara. And this is the same hadith which the Tabligh Jamaat used, which is valid, correct. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving Hazrat Ma'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu in simple terms hidayat bayan. And this is the same thing which the Tabligh Jamaat do when you go out in the path of Allah to give you a hidayat bayan. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving Hazrat Ma'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu hidayat bayan. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the month of Ramadan, he came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I have committed a great felony," meaning an error. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "What happened?" Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "Ya Rasulullah, while in the state of fasting, I kissed my wife." Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that, "O Umar, in the state of fasting, don't you gargle your mouth with water?" Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, "Yes, I do so." He said, "That does not break fasting. Similarly, kissing your wife does not break fasting." See what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he's analyzing, how he's drawing parallels, and how he's making the law, how he's bringing about the law. While we actually, let me just say, you want two hadiths too. Because here, yeah, about kissing and Ramzan, and now we are in both. One person came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, can I kiss my wife?" Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yeah, kiss your wife. That's state of fasting." Another person came and said, "Ya Rasulullah, can I kiss my wife?" Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, can't kiss your wife." Sahaba asked, "Ya Rasulullah," same question, two different people, two different answers. What's going on? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The first person who I gave permission that he can kiss his wife is an elderly person. He controlled himself. Second person is newly married, he's a young person. He gets out of control. Things may start happening." So you apply the law how you are understanding it. If you can do it, do it. Don't. Otherwise, you'll be in for 60 fasts consecutively. Person came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, "Ya Rasulullah, my father is elderly man. My father, elderly man. And he just accepted Islam. My father is elderly, accepted Islam just lately. He's weak, he's feeble, he cannot ride the conveyance. He got no strength to go for Hajj. Can I go for him for Hajj?" See what he's asking. His father is elderly, old, feeble, accepted Islam. Now he says he can't go on the conveyance for Hajj. Not by aeroplane those days, now he has to go by conveyance. So he asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Can I go?" Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "Are you the elder son? Are you the elder son?" He said, "I am the elder son." Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that if your father had a debt, and you pay it, would the debt be fulfilled? So yes, definitely the debt will be fulfilled. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that go for Hajj, make Hajj for your father. Hadith is in Bukhari Muslim. Meaning, proving Hajj Badaliya also. And also proving, see how Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is analyzing. And how he is bringing this concept that there is a principle, and from that principle laws are coming. So to make it more simple, most of you have studied mathematics. Now when you are studying mathematics, you had a theorem. And you studied theorems, which you dreaded. And then they gave you riders. And if you knew your theorems well, you could sort out the riders. It's the same thing here, that the theorems, the principles are in the Quran and in the Hadith and in the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The theorems are there, the principles are there. Now the mujtahideen, the super scholar in Islam, And by the way, we don't have mujtahidi in our era. In our time, we don't have mujtahidi. Understand? Mujtahidi like Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Awza'i rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Zufar rahmatullahi alayhi. Those. Let alone that there are 8 categories of mujtahid. Respected elders, they came to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Ali are having a discussion that the law, when a person is caught drinking alcohol, is to lash him 80 times, flogging 80 times. Now, they have to make a law for the person who makes a false accusation. Make a false accusation, make a slander. False accusation upon a sensible person, a chaste person. So respected elders, when they're having the discussion, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, see, when a person drinks alcohol, then he becomes irrational in his speech and thought. And he began to dribble and dribble. And he began to speak nonsense. And he'll say whatever, make bakwas. So therefore Sharia has said, when this person is under the influence of alcohol, lash him 80 times. Bring him back to senses. And he has taken alcohol which has confused his mind and which has made him say a lot of nonsense and drivel. Now a person who falsely accuses, he's also engaging in nonsense and drivel. So therefore, when he got 80 lashes for taking alcohol, 80 lashes for the one who falsely accuses. See how they drew the parallel? They drew the parallel, and now when a person who consumes alcohol, 80 lashes. And when a person falsely accuses someone, 80 lashes. Now respected elders, I have stressed that an expert will have to do this. You will have to know that this principle exists in the Quran and Hadith. See, one person, he went in his village, and while in his village, there was someone stuck in the well. So they threw down one rope, they tied him up, and they pulled him up. And alhamdulillah, the person got saved. After a few days, this person here went to another village, and he witnessed this well-pulling incident. So he went there and he saw one person screaming and the whole village looking and trying to rescue this person. He was on top of a tree. So this person said, oh, I know how to get this person down. Very easy. What he had one principle in his mind, tie and pull. Tie and pull. Why? Because the person from the well, what they did? They tied and pulled him. He got saved. So the person on the tree, they said, okay, give him some rope, tied him up and pulled him down to death. This happens when non-qualified people try to go into deen and try to interpret deen, then you get death. Respected elders, this is exactly what happens. Because non-qualified people will take this principle, tie and pull, and use it wrongly. People say, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, MashaAllah, they use the example of television. They say Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is omnipresent. Why? How come television is omnipresent? One rascal sitting in America, you can see a million places. So therefore, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also omnipresent. Now, a person who is not clued up with what we call qiyas and maqis alayh, and the deductive and what is to be deduced, and the derivative and what is coming out, and the sciences of analogical reasoning, say, ah, this is very good. Now understand, there is a saying, as agile as a monkey, as brave as a lion. Now you don't say as agile as a lion, and brave as a monkey. Why you don't say that? Because agility is linked to the monkey. Agility is not linked to the lion. The quality of agility exists in the monkey. The quality of bravery exists in the lion.
That is why you don't switch these adjectives. First you have to prove, you have to prove the principle that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is omnipresent. Then you can use the example of television. Not that you take television and start proving it. Respected elders, may Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to understand this deed. This deed is very easy and simple. Sadqatul Fitr is 10 rand 50. The Jamaat Sada will be collecting in the next 2 weeks. The next 2 Fridays, after that we're not collecting in this Jamaat Sada, inshallah. Hajj classes, alhamdulillah, in Binoni on Sundays from 9 to 12, the BFJ Hall. In the BFJ Hall, alhamdulillah, Maulana Rakudi and Mufti Boja conduct it. All those who are going for Hajj, please try to learn something about Hajj. Although Hajj is very easy, but try to learn something. It is, according to the scholars, wajib to learn about Hajj and then go for Hajj. Don't pitch up there, you don't even know what an Arab looks like. Respected elders, one more appeal. This is the month of Ramadan, that we have noticed many brothers after Jummah Salat don't make Sunnah. You just rush off. Why are you rushing off? Why you don't want to make your Sunnah? If you have got time constraints and you have to go to your work, then please go to your work and make your Sunnah. But if you do not have any time constraints, then respected elders, you should be making your Sunnah. Hold fast to the Sunnah. In the Sunnah lies success. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.